on 1278 and 1530 AM on DAB Digital Radio, on the Pulse 2 app and online at pulse2.co.uk. This is the Robbie Hunter Paul Show with Aaron the Power Bauer, Super Mario Elliot Minchella, the Reggae Warrior Ross Peltier, and Robbie Hunter Paul.
Kia ora and g'day and welcome to the Robbie Hunter Paul Show. We've no idea why we're still playing that intro, because there's no Ross, no Aaron and no Elliot that have been on the show, but I've got none other than the man who's been here over the last, what, 4 weeks?
Yeah, it is the
game caller himself, Michael Gledhill. Does anyone call you Michael, Mick?
No, that's strictly my Sunday
name. Your church name,
right? It's always Mick, Big Mick.
Big Mick.
As I walk through the city centre of Bradford regularly. Oi, game caller.
Game caller. No, actually, no, the Telegraph and Argus, didn't they label you as a rugby league legend?
They did. You know,
Rugby league, you've arrived. You have absolutely arrived. When the TNA does it,
I had no say whatsoever in that headline, but obviously, you know, yeah. less said about what happened at the weekend, the better.
No, we've got to explore that, you know what I mean? Because, you've got to explore everything that is the game caller. Anyway, loads of talk about rugby league coming up this evening. I got it, my mind's in a couple of places. One of my baby children, not baby anymore, she's in her 20s, but she's about to give birth.
Oh, what? Is that Mia?
Mia, yeah.
Yeah, Mia, who used to work in the club shop at Oddsall. Yeah, I know Mia well. Well, congratulations.
So I'm going to be a granddaddy again. This is my third, number three. Oh man, before my time.
Crikey.
But hey, look,
congratulations.
My head's been all over the place today. It's a bit like when they were born. Oh, I couldn't think straight. But anyway, it's going to be a celebration. I'm sure. But we're talking rugby league. Grand final was on the weekend, so we've got to cover that. The England A team or England Knights, they're taking on Jamaica this Friday, is it? This Friday?
We've got
the
World Sunday. Nines.
It's Sunday. Sunday. Okay, Sunday. So we've got the World Nines coming on Friday and Saturday of this weekend.
Yes, really looking forward to that.
And absolutely, I mean, all the stars have come out to play in this competition also. So it's going to be a really validated competition, exciting international structure going on. I mean, there's a breath of fresh air being breathed, you know, that's been just flowed into the international game at the moment. So we've got to talk about that. We've got to talk about the grand final just gone. Both grand finals, also the Women's Super League grand final as well. So much to talk about. And obviously, that elephant in the room, the Bradford Bulls. And no one is better positioned to talk about the Bradford Bulls, the comings and goings, what's going on, than the man to my right, if you're watching on Periscope, to my left. Mike Gledhill, the game caller, because it's in his best interest. It is his business to know. So let's start first, though. Let's not go straight into that elephant in the room. Let's talk about the grand final. Let's talk about Saturday night's grand final first and foremost. How did you see it, Mick? You were there. A little bit, look, great for me, great final, but a downer for you at the end of the day because you were mugged.
Yeah.
Come on, tell us about that.
Oh,
let's hear it from the horse's mouth. We've seen the updates on social media.
Yeah,
but, you know,
so basically,
frightening, scary.
Yeah. So basically, what happened was, been to the grand final, watched the trophy presentation, St. Helens lift it for you know, worthy
yep.
winners, and then obviously people that know me know that I don't drive, so I'm a bus and train man. Walked right back to Trafford Park tram station, which is on the Manchester Metro Link, and obviously went. By the time we've got there, it's a bottleneck. You know, there's a big, massive queue, and the stewards employed by the Metro Link, they're basically saying, look, you know, although the trams are doubled up, there's pretty much a 20-minute, you know, service. So they're every 20 minutes, and the steward basically said, Robbie, you know, you're going to be 40 minutes to an hour. But he said, if you walk down this road, which I think is Bridgewater Way. So if anybody knows Manchester, it's Bridgewater Way. It's like a dual carriageway, which you can walk along the side of to get to Cornbrook, which was the Metrolink stop we were advised to go to, because obviously that has other lines connecting to it from Media City. And it was while we were walking on there, I had Google Maps out on my phone. I was looking to see where I was heading to, making sure I was on the right, you know, the right path towards the tram stop. And all of a sudden, someone's coming to the side of me on a push bike, unbelievably. And I'm knocked to the ground. I'm disorientated. The second guy, also on a push bike, he's jumped off. He's wrestling for the phone, for my personal belongings. My friend who was with me, Kieran, he's obviously got involved. And like I say, Robbie, you know, I lost out. It happened that quick. They were back on the pedal bikes and away they've gone.
Little mongrels.
So no phone, no wallet, no way of actually getting home. So, you know, phone 999. Because at
did
the
Kieran
end of the day.
Did Kieran have a phone on him?
Yes, yes, luckily.
Did he have a rubbish phone?
It was an iPhone 6. Mine was an iPhone X. Yeah. So, yeah, so.
They were like, no, we don't want that one. You know, we shouldn't laugh about it.
No, when Manchester, look, Greater Manchester Police were absolutely fantastic. You know, I know we had
didn't
to.
Didn't they send you there in the first place?
We had to.
No, look, we're not talking out against them.
We had to wait for 2 hours. We had to wait for 2 hours for them to come. But when they come, they said, look, you know, you're like the fourth or fifth rugby league fan that has been mugged this evening. So clearly for next season, you know, the Greater Manchester Police, whether it be Super League, someone's got to look at this, because if five rugby league fans are getting targeted on grand final night, you know, and every one of them...
I would argue that it's not a rugby league thing.
No, it's not a rugby league thing.
They're professionals at what they do.
Yes, yes.
They understand that when there's big groups of people moving, a lot of the time, a lot of the people, the victims, so to speak,
they're not familiar with the area.
Not familiar with the area, but equally are probably a little bit inebriated as well, you know, been on their social lubricant that we call beer. So haven't got, you know, their full facilities around them. And so they see that, you know, they see the opportunity as an opportunity. And Paul himself was saying, you know, you're not a small bloke, so... Do you know what I mean? They've been brave.
That's why they probably hit me at speed on the bike in my side to disorientate me, because I don't think anyone was going to jump off a bike and take me off.
Yeah.
I mean, you know me, Robbie. Yeah. I'm the most placid bloke. I'm the gentle giant of rugby league.
But it's like all of those things. Like, so was Paul Anderson. Like, he never fought with anyone. And no one messed with him, because it was just, what if? You know, he did nothing dirty in the games and everything, but people would worry, what if he did kick off? You know, what could we do? He'd just throw people all over the place. And that's what could happen with yourself. Yeah, so if I was going to do that, I'd do it from a distance here as well.
We need to mention the competition, Robbie. So
you hit it.
The Rugby Football League have been very kind. They've got in touch with us this afternoon and they're giving us a pair of tickets to the England-Jamaica game at Headingley on Sunday. It's a 3 o'clock kickoff. So for those that are listening on DAB online or on the app, if you head to the... Robbie Hunter Paul live stream, which is on Twitter, it's on Periscope, and if you join us,
well, you can get it off mine at Hunter Paul. You can also get it off at the Game Caller.
I've retweeted and shared it.
Off at Pulse2MDL.
Robbie's going to pick somebody who's joined us live, and you will win two pair of tickets.
No, you've got to do more than that. Just leave a comment, and that it's easier to do that. Oh, show me the money once. Show me the tickets.
Show me the tickets, Robert.
From Harry Jeffrey 9. He's straight in there. Good work, Harry.
But yes, by the end, Robbie will pick someone.
What we want you to do is actually join the conversation, even if it's just to say hello. Join the conversation, then we've got a track record of who you are. We'll let you know how to get in touch with them, probably a private DM. And then we'll let you know how you can pick tickets up, which will basically be at the ticket office. But we'll need to leave your details and your name there so they know who to give the tickets to.
But going back to the grand final, the actual game itself, I thought it was a very efficient St. Helens performance. I thought Salford, Robbie, I don't know if you picked up on this, but I thought Salford, you know, they were the more entertaining side. You know, they were the side that liked to throw the ball around and were really easy on the eye.
I think they had to because they were getting strangled so much by St. Helens' defence that they actually had to start pushing the pass. But they were good at it. I think that's what you're saying. They were good at, you know, there weren't a lot of drop balls. I think the statistics in the first half was 90% completion rate by St. Helens, who played a much more structured game, but 85% by Salford. And both of those, those are game-winning stats. They're game-winning stats. But I think when St. Helens play at 90%, they're unstoppable because they've just got too much firepower in their team. I mean, They were brutal, I got to admit. You know, Makinson just punishing the line, Wormsley punishing the line. Thompson just bang, bang, bang. It was just one after the other. And even Regan Grace, when he's coming off that edge, he's such a slippery character because of his footwork. It tires you out, and it just became relentless. You know, James Robey jumping out of acting half, and everything was on the front foot. But I've got to admit, I'll give Salford their dues. They did. They left it all out there. I don't think they could have played much better. They just came up against a St. Helens team that actually believed, they truly did believe that they'd come of age. Your thoughts?
Yeah, well, you know, you look at Luke Thompson, you know, 43 tackles, nearly 200 metres. You know, wow, what an outstanding performance from him. You look at how it was all working with the halves. Lomax, Farge, you say, Luke Lachlan Coote, Tommy Makinson, Regan Grace. Everyone was on fire.
How different was it to the Challenge Cup match that they all played?
Oh, the mindset was phenomenal. You know, the change in mindset, Robbie, when you look back to, you know, that...
They were not just the final, the 2018 as well.
Yeah, they were very shaky, very jittery in those games. But what we saw on Saturday was a very composed performance. You know, the error count, I think they only made something like five errors. And a side that makes five errors and gives away only five penalties all game, you know, that is...
With those weapons in their team.
Yeah, yeah.
Live on 1278 and 1530 AM on DAB Digital Radio, on the Pulse 2 app, and online at pulse2.co.uk. This is the Robbie Hunter Paul Show on Pulse 2.
Welcome back to the Robbie Hunter Paul Show, live at the Pulse 2 studios, in the studio with the game caller himself, Mick Little. And that was a really short break. So actually, we're not upset with that, are we?
No.
We always complain about not having enough time on the show. Let's talk about someone... Who was it now? Just spoke about the referee on the day, Richie Larkin, 87. He said Kendall's performance was embarrassing. How did you find the referee's performance? Now, look, I'm not a big fan of picking on referees. Referees don't miss tackles. They don't drop the ball either. But I'm curious to know what your thoughts was, because I got to admit, I was looking through the game through rose-tinted Salfordian glasses as a former player for them.
Well, look, Robert, you know, I was up in the gods in the corner, and, you know, to be brutally honest, you know, when you're watching the game, we don't, you know, as a spectator, yes, there is the big screen there, but even then it's not clear, it's not conclusive. And it was on, you know, while I'm watching the game, you know, I never thought for 1 minute that there was any injustice against Salford. I just thought they were totally outclassed by a very efficient St. Helens side. It's only afterwards, when you watch the replay, you watch the highlights, and you start slowing everything down, that you think, well, hang on a second, that's a ball steal. That should have been a penalty to Salford in front of the St. Helens post and another set of six at the start of the second half. You know,
what
the referee,
the, what
all
about...
I'll say is I will very rarely bag the referees, but, you know, if it's taking, if we're having to do that, slow it down, and even then it's proving a little bit inconclusive, you know. And Jackson Hastings summed it up for me in his post-match interview. You know, St. Helens were good, they deserved the win. The referee did not cost us that match.
Yeah, I agree with that. I agree with that. From my own opinion on the referee, I thought the 50-50 calls went against Salford. And again, like I said, I was looking through at the game through rose-tinted Salfordian glasses, just because of my affinity with the club, because of the time that I spent there. And a lot of the people that are still at that club are still there. And it's also the underdog thing also. You know, you want the underdog to do well. I'm curious to know what your thoughts were on Tuimala Lolohe's. Well, it was a disallowed try, but it didn't. Do you think, in respect of what happened in the Challenge Cup final, it should have at least been referred upstairs?
Yes. That is going to be one criticism I've got of the referee, Chris Kendall from Huddersfield, is that, you know, Tui Lolohe goes over for an apparent obstruction, and you know, it's a big occasion. I know it's brave, and I like to see officials make decisions on their own back, but, you know, it is a grand final. The video referee is there. That should have been utilised. That should have gone to the video referee. There's no arguments for mine. That was probably one criticism I've got of Chris Kendall.
But obviously he was given the mandate, or he had the mandate in his own in his own mind before he went to the game and officiated the game was, I'm going to keep this game flowing, because he did. I will give it one thing. That game was rapid.
It was.
And because there was a very low error count for both teams, it was non-stop. It was enticing. It was a brilliant. It's one of the best finals I've seen in a while, to be honest. For me, last year's final was a Warrington and Wigan. They looked like two tired teams. You know, two exhausted teams, but actually Saints were fresh, and I think that's because of the new system that they've got, and it really did give them the value of winning the season like they did. So they really did reap the rewards, because they just came at that game at a million miles an hour. But Salford were the team that had the momentum, and they played like a team in momentum. Yes, I agree with what everyone's saying. So St. Helens were the better team on the side. We all said if St. Helens played to their ability, Salford wouldn't be able to stay with them, and they didn't. But they showed an amazing account of themselves, and I don't think another team in the Super League could have done as well.
No, I totally agree. You know, St. Helens, they were like the old St. Helens that we know from the start of the Super League era. You know, that was quite frightening. And, you know, when they were going for the 2 points, Lachlan Coote, you know, going for the penalties, you know, that just sucked all that momentum out of Salford. But, you know, listen. What a great season Ian Watson and the Salford Red Devils have had. Absolutely fantastic, you know, to get to their first ever Super League Grand Final. You know, fingers crossed that they can really kick on next season in 2020. And, you know, to have over 10,000 Salford fans at Old Trafford, here's my message to you. Here's the challenge for next season. Please buy a Salford Red Devils season ticket, pack out the AJ Bell, and give Ian Watson and Ian Blaise and the Salford club that magnificent support.
And equally as importantly, tell your family members and your friends and your community to do the same thing. That's what they need. They need some joined up thinking, some joined up feeling, and they'll continue to do that. Ian Watson, Ian Blease, they are Salford through and through. They bleed that colour red, that specific colour, Red Devils red. And, they, you know, one thing I'll give Ian Watson this, he can create synergy where there just shouldn't be any. And, you know, he's done an amazing job over the last 5 years since he's been in charge. And I just got to don my hat to him. I think it was a bit of a shock that he actually, with the momentum that Salford had behind them, that he didn't get Coach of the Year.
I agree.
And
a bit of a shock for mine.
keep doing what you're doing, Ian, because it seems like you've got a great recipe for success. So let's just take one step back. The night before, we see the Women's Super League final. Leeds Rhinos versus Carsford. It was a replay of the Challenge Cup final 3 months earlier. Did you get a chance to see that one, Mick?
Yeah, I watched it. And I'll be honest, you know, 10 minutes in, Castleford are leading 8-0.
Yep.
Leeds have not touched the ball. And you're thinking, oh my word, I was in a very rowdy pub full of Bradford Bulls fans. And
all cheering for
Castleford. They were all cheering for Castleford, and they were like, get in, come on, yes. And I'm like, look, rugby league is the ultimate game of momentum. Just because a side's got that momentum early doesn't mean that is how the game's going to go. And I was proven to be correct, because, you know, Leeds, wow, they rode that early Castleford storm, defended magnificently, and then threw it all back on Castleford. And Castleford just couldn't deal with that pressure, and credit to Leeds, you know, on a magnificent, you know, double.
You know, Castleford kind of new to the Super League setup and all of that. So they've had an amazing season. They won the League Leaders' Shield, so they did themselves really proud. But it was Leeds Rhino, and probably that experience that got them the opportunity to get that success, continue on with the job. See, Adam Cuthbertson saying, I thought it was a great game. Who was it? Scully, Gary Schofield. He's bagging it a little bit. But look, I was involved with the Bradford Bulls women's team when it came into its inception. Then it went into the Super League in that amazing first year. And then when I left the Bulls, my marketing company got the contract to do the marketing for the women's team. So it was my team that were going out and following the games, getting the interviews and staying up to date with it. And if I think for Gary, if you'd have been there from the beginning of how this Super League journey for the women's game has started to where it is right now, and the level and the strides that the women's game has made in such a short amount of time. Obviously, we're all working towards 2 years from now, 2021 World Cup, That's the big goal in mind, to have a competitive team that will be able to compete with the Kiwi Ferns and the Gillaroos. Then if they can continue on that arc, that ability arc, and keep attracting that young talent, then you know, they're going to achieve or come there or thereabouts.
Yeah.
I think it's fantastic. That's what I loved about it. I was there at the beginning, and I will agree that the competition wasn't the greatest at the beginning, but it's come on absolutely leaps and bounds. I love that the Super League clubs have embraced it. I love that they're throwing resources at it, which is including coaching and expertise. And not only that, definitely more so, how the women's athletes themselves have now grasped that concept and are trying to improve themselves so vastly quickly. So, you know, from strength to strength. Just looking at WSS4, Robbie is angry. Relax, man. I'm more angry.
Chill.
I was
chill.
Passionate. Look, to my defense, my baby girl is giving birth as we speak right now. So, you know, it's an emotional time for me. I don't want to get a message from your granddad again. No, I'll start crying.
Someone messaged me on Twitter and said, where is Ross? Well, Ross is currently training with Jamaica at Kirkstall in Leeds. So we're not sure if Ross is going to make it. I suspect he won't, because I've seen pictures. Amari Caro's been posting pictures of jerk chicken and rice. And yeah. I tell you what, I'm sat in the studio absolutely starving. I'm famished. Get me to Kirkstall for some.
I can promise you now, when you're a player, that's the thing that you're worried that you're going to miss out, because you get into camp, you've got this amazing click, everybody's just having a laugh, and then they're saying, okay, training's done for the day, it's downtime, let's go to Nando's or one of the other big chicken places that we love, one of the other big restaurants, let's go somewhere and get a feed, go do it together, keep the socializing going, and as a player, you don't want to miss out. So no chance Ross is coming here to meet us today. And this is the last show of the year as well.
Live on 12:78 and 15:30 AM. This is the Robbie Hunter Paul Show on Pulse 2.
Welcome back to the Robbie Hunter Paul Show, live in the Pulse 2 studios with Mick, the game caller, Glen Hill. And let's get on to that thing that we were talking about before, the elephant in the room. It is the Bradford Bulls. Where are we at with it, Michael? Give us an update on everything Bradford Bulls. So there's so many things to talk about. There's the position. Well, actually, it's not so much the Bradford Bulls. It's now Odsall. The RFL's position on Odsall Stadium, because some news come out about that. There's questions being asked by supporters, and actually someone's come on in. Noah Jagger, will any of the rugby league journalists take account the RFL for picking so many owners who have failed us? Also, Fans Forum coming up. And any other business, mate. Come on, fill us in. What's going on?
Well, just in reply to Noah Jagger, I mean, I've said this so many times, you know, I feel like hitting me against a wall. You know, the RFL's fit and proper person test, I think it needs to be more stringent. I think the RFL, after the latest fiasco with the debts that Andrew Chalmers has run up, will probably admit that. They're in a very difficult position, because anybody can show proof of funding. But I do agree that the fit and proper person test, it needs to be more stringent to stop this from happening. But is this just a rugby league thing and an RFL problem? No, you look what's happened at Bury in the English Football League. You know, they're no longer part of the 72. They've been liquidated, and effectively those fans now are going to have to start a new club further down the football pyramid. You look what's happened at Bolton. You know, so many calls, and so much criticism towards the FA of their fit and proper person test. So I think, you know, both sports of rugby league and football can probably learn from each other, and I would love for a universal sort of code of practice, you know, which actually dictates what a fit and proper person is, because, you know, this is happening far too many times. But the latest basically at the Bradford Bulls is that two supporter forums are going to be held at Dewsbury next week on Tuesday and Wednesday. The Tuesday evening is sold out. The Wednesday evening, there's less than 30 tickets remaining. I spoke with...
Sign up. Hurry up.
Oh, there's been huge demand, so over 500 people are going already. I've spoken to the, let's call them the prospective new owners. You know, they can't wait to meet everybody and, you know, hopefully...
So...
Do things right.
To do that next week...
Yes.
That means that they've got to be ratified. before that. They can't. You can't go and meet everyone without being without getting the keys.
I think they will be ratified. The latest is Andrew Chalmers is proving very elusive to get hold of. That is what is holding everything up. So at the moment, Andrew Chalmers is not answering calls, he's not answering texts, he's not answering emails. So hopefully...
That just from you, or is it from everyone?
No. You know what? I actually got a message from Andrew Chalmers on Sunday morning saying, hey, buddy, hope you're okay after the assault and the mugging in Manchester. So
he's
still out there, is Andrew, in New Zealand. But obviously, you know, things are moving slow. You know, I think the prospective new owners would like things to move a little bit quicker.
You would argue also, I mean, not just prospective owners. I mean, you look at any social media stream and it's killing the Bulls supporters.
Yes, the club has to be out of special measures. They need a new owner. They need some stability. And like I say, the prospective new owners, Chris Berrington, they're going to be there to outline their plans for the club moving forward now.
Now, you say owners. How many people are going to be there representing the club? I mean, obviously, you'd expect John Keir to be there.
No, John's in Australia with Wales.
Of course he is, with the Nines.
So yeah, John Keir won't be there. John's at the Downer Nines.
You probably have someone, though, probably Lee Beattie, someone representing the Plains.
Yeah, I'd like to think people like Lee Beattie, a real club stalwart like Lee Beattie.
Ross Peltier, straight off Jamaican duty.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, we know that Chris Berrington's going to be there. His right-hand ladies, financial advisor, Catherine Harrison's going to be there. Mark Sawyer's going to be there. And, keen to point out and stress that Mark Sawyer, he's not in the consortium. He's going to be seen as a consultant. He's going to advise, because obviously Bradford are playing at Dewsbury for the next 12 mm-hmm. months. So Mark Sawyer's role is going to be there to, you know, advise Chris Berrington on
Got a lot of experience not just championship level, but at Super League level as well.
Yes.
And you've got a lot of best practice involved there.
And that's great.
I mean, Mark's and Chris have both done successfully run a club on a very,
very,
very
shrewd
small
string. Yes, yeah. And I think what Chris is going to do, an outline and say, I mean, he did an article in the Telegraph and Argus yesterday, which is pretty much that the next 12 months are crucial in the survival of the club. You know, from speaking to the newer prospective owners, you know, they feel that they've got a stranglehold on, you know, the creditors list, so they've finally got, you know, a clear vision of who's actually owed money and how much. And, you know, they're going to now be working with the creditors in the background, you know, to hopefully come to some agreement. You know, I don't think they can afford to pay the debts that Andrew Chalmers has run up, in a week. So, you know, this is going to be a long-term agreement, Robbie. So this is probably going to be a 12-month, 12-month calendar, which is going to be ongoing, where the creditors will eventually be paid everything back in full as per an agreement. But, you know, look, everybody just wants some positive news. They want some stability. You know, the Bradford Bulls is a massive rugby league club. It's got a lot of history, and it's too big to fail. And the positive news this week is that Chris Berrington and his consortium, you know, the club's administrative offices, they're now going back to Wadsall in what used to be the Trevor Foster Lounge. The club shop's going to be going back there, so that'll be opening soon. So all the fans, you know, that stop me in the street and say, Mick, I can't get to Dewsbury to buy a shirt, you know, you'll be able to go up to Wadsall just like you used to do. But yes, Wadsall, I've been told by the RFL, that will be discussed at their next board meeting on October the 23rd. So obviously we won't have a show on the Pulse, but like I say, any news, I'll fire the interviews over to Henry Winter and the news team, and the Pulse will still, you know, be covering the club in the off-season. But, you know, regarding Wadsall, you know, that could drag on into the off-season, but that won't be addressed until the 23rd, which is next week.
Any murmurs that you think could be in and around what is the situation with Wadsall?
The problem is, Robbie, and I'll try and do this really...
as diplomatic as possible?
I'll try and do it concise. So the council have just spent 20-plus million on the new... sport and leisure facility at Sedgeberg, on Sedgeberg Field. So that is opening pretty much imminently. Richard Dunn's will be coming down. So you have got Wadsall. There's no club playing there. The covenant to protect rugby league and sport at Wadsall ended in the summer. You've got two prime pieces of land, real estate, and I just
adjacent
to each other with good commercial retail links and also transportation links just off the M62 and the M606.
The transportation links, which is crucial to hosting a stadium and retail facilities.
I know that Paul Caddick I think his business was actually based in Pontefract, but obviously he's mm-hmm. tied in with Leeds. I know he has made offers to Bradford Council, but because Bradford Council are valuing that land a little bit higher than what Paul Caddick has offered, things have stalled. I'll say this again, Robbie. I said this during the summer when you invited me on. What needs to happen is the RFL, Bradford Council, and the new owners of the Bradford Bulls, Chris Berriton, they all need to go in a room and someone is going to have to make concessions. Someone has to make concessions regarding, you know, are they going to sell both sites? Are they going to build a new community stadium? Are Bradford Park Avenue going to get involved? And I know these talks have gone on in the background, but, you know, maybe it's the Yorkshireness, maybe it's the stubbornness of Bradford Council. You know, people have put the foot down and they're saying, I want this figure. If we don't get this figure, the deal's off.
To be honest, I think it's more a monetary thing. The environment, and especially with Brexit coming, the council's not flush with cash.
No, and that is why the council have put a hefty price tag on Richard Dunn's and on Odsell as the head leaseholder. The head of the freehold. You know, and I just think there's got to be concessions.
The RFL has the leasehold to it. They can't sell it, can they?
No, and the RFL have a 140-year plus leasehold, so that's effectively equivalent to a freehold.
Yeah, of course.
So what I think is going to probably happen is
we'll be long gone by then.
Someone somewhere, be it a private developer, speaking with either the new owners and the council, the RFL are going to have to be paid out. They're going to have to be paid out of that lease, which, you know, is roughly around about £750,000.
Everyone gets in the room and worked in.
Yes, met concessions. Yeah. That would be my dream come true. Because Bradford, you know, they're only at Dewsbury for 12 months. And, you know, season 2021, they'll be back in Bradford. And it's just a case of where.
But 2021.
That's another story.
Oh, that sounds too close. Yeah, that's too quick. You can't build a stadium.
No, not a new stadium. They will be coming back to Bradford.
One place where they'll be able to house them, and that's down in Valley Parade.
Well,
no one else is big enough. Unless you develop somewhere.
Yeah,
and still, that's going to take too much time and too much money. It would seem like throwing the money down the drain. I don't know.
The club needs to be back in Bradford, Robbie.
The new
owners understand that.
This is the Robbie Hunter Paul Show, live on Pulse 2.
Welcome back to the Robbie Hunter Paul Show, live in the Pulse 2 studios with Mick the Game Caller, Glen Hill. Mick, let's talk International Rugby League now that we've put the Bradford Bulls and Odsell to bed. For now. Let's talk up the Jamaican game, and at the end of this little segment of the Jamaica versus England Knights game, we'll choose a winner from our little competition. So two tickets up for grab for this Sunday's match between the two nations. How do you think the game's going to go anyway?
Well, it's an interesting one because it is effectively a historic clash. With the match being the first ever international that Jamaica are going to come up against a Tier 1 nation. Now, it is the England Knights, but, you know, you look at that England Knights side.
Oh, that's good.
There's a couple of players who played in Saturday's Grand Final, namely Jack Ashworth and Niall Evald. You've got Joe Greenwood, Toby Crane, Cruz Leeming, Tom Lynham, Greg Minikin, and a lot of emerging talent like Harry Smith, Morgan Smithies, Harry Newman, Mikel Ioledski, Oliver Partington, Sam Powell. Matt English, I tell you what, I know we're going to talk a little bit about the World Cup nines before we finish, but I tell you what, there's so many future talents in this England side. It's going to be really great. And I think from a Jamaican point of view, you look at where the Jamaican players are from, like Moa Goro, Newcastle, Joe Brown, Newcastle, Jordan Andrade, Alex Brown, Dewsbury Rams, Joe Farrell, Sheffield Eagles, John Magrin, Ross Peltier from the Bradford Bulls, Jamel Cole, Coleman, Amari Caro, remember Amari when he used to don the red, amber and black from the London Scholars? You know, when you're looking at this is effectively like a mid-table Championship side against a middle eight Super League team. So I'm expecting this to be blood and thunder. And, you know, these Jamaican players, especially players like Ross, you know, when they're going to be carting that ball in and you know, they're going to be beating Darnell McIntosh, Greg Minikin, Danny Richardson in the tackle, you know, it's going to be fireworks. And
I mean,
I'm looking forward to it. Honestly, I can't sell it enough. It's going to be a great occasion.
When you look at it, it looks like there's a really experienced team in Jamaica with a lot of experienced players that have been there, done that, got the yards under their belt. But the England Knights team is quite a youthful team. And you're going to have that juxtaposition. But the England Knights are still going to be expecting to win this game.
Yes, yes. This is why... I know Ross is training at the moment, but I would love Ross to be sat here. Ross, you know, someone made a good point, you know. Can someone ask Ross, you know, what are they actually expecting to get from this game? Because that is interesting, because obviously this is a stepping stone and a barometer of where Jamaican currently are ahead of the Rugby League World Cup, which of course will take place in the United Kingdom in 2021. And you know what's really good? And I know we're talking about players like Harry Newman, Harry Smith, Morgan Smithies, you know, pathway, progression, you know, they're three teenagers who starred for England Academy in the 2-0 White Rush over Australia last autumn. So you can see that progression, that pathway. But, you know, there's actually two domestic players from Jamaica, from the Dunahay Park Red Sharks. Now, I've wrote it down here, and I'm not sure how you pronounce it, but Kahiminski McCain and Jensen Morris. I tell you what, I'm looking forward to seeing these domestic Jamaican players that have flown over from Jamaica.
Jensen Morris is a lot easier, isn't it?
And they're going to be playing at Headingley on Sunday, you know. And I was talking to the RFL this afternoon that they're hopeful, with ticket sales approaching 4,000, that there's going to be 5,000 people there. I know Jamaica, they've got a training session in Leeds tomorrow, Chapel Town, which has a large Caribbean community. So Jamaica have certainly been doing their
part. Tell me that
they're going out round West Yorkshire.
Please tell me that they're inviting that fiesta type of come in there, bring the music, bring the colour.
Yes.
Let's make this an event.
Yes.
That's what I want to see.
Straw skirts,
everything.
Flowers in the hair. Honestly, I'm expecting Headingley to be a vibrant, you know, honestly, a carnival of colour, kaleidoscope of colour, sorry. But, you know, it's going to be interesting because, like I say, you know, a lot of these England players, they are going to want to impress Baloo. Paul Anderson, who is the England Knights head coach, you know, they want to be on the radar for 2021. You know, whether or not Wayne Bennett will still be here or not. But, you know, certainly there's a lot of future talent in that England side. But as you say, Robbie, you know, look, Mason Caton Brown, Greg Johnstone, Ashton Golding, Ben Jones-Bishop, Michael Lawrence. There's a lot of experience in that Jamaican side.
When you're a senior player, when you're older... It doesn't matter who they are. If they're a younger player, then you actually feel like you're superior over them. And so I expect Jamaica to absolutely take it to this England team.
Oh, honestly, wouldn't surprise me. I'm not sure who the referee is. They've not announced it yet, but it wouldn't surprise me if there's fireworks and it's a real passionate performance. And it's a shame this is the last show because I'd love to do a show next week and we can do the fallout and say, Ross, you know, what happened? I mean, who knows?
Ross, you got 5 minutes in the game, you got dragged.
Because the last time Jamaica played over here, they drew with Wales 16 points apiece. At Bellevue, and that was a good barometer of where Jamaica were heading. And then obviously what happened last season was fantastic. They beat USA and they've qualified for the World Cup.
And another thing, look, this is the rugby league community. They're playing now. So they did that in Jamaica. Didn't get much exposure. I watched the game, but it didn't get much exposure. They beat England here. That gives them a much stronger base to reach out to any Jamaican qualified players to actually think of them as an option for 2021. I'm telling you now, you want to be in these tournaments. You want to compete against the best. You just want to add that and be a part of it. So it'll give the brand, Jamaica brand, the opportunity to really put themselves on the map.
I totally
agree. And the players themselves, look, there's one thing when you go to representative football, it doesn't matter what level of representative football, you get better. You get better because the players around you, they're X factor. There's a reason why they're there because they've been invited because they're better than the rest. those players have little ticks, tips and tricks that you pick up on, whether it can be something like footwork that they use that you see on the training pitch and you start pulling that apart, or it might be just mindset, how to be mentally tough, how to behave properly. Sometimes you can have the best athlete in the world, but just doesn't look after themselves professionally. But you learn that in these types of camps. So that goes for both teams.
And what Jamaica have got, Robbie, just quickly, they've got that togetherness. You know, they've got that real family feel, you know, that heritage. And, you know, I were watching the videos of them training this afternoon. And, you know, I tell you what, you know, I'm not going to put a prediction on the game, but I think, you know, Jamaica, you know, come the full time hooter on Sunday evening, you know, they'll be flying the flag high and they really will have put in a very proud performance.
All right. Okay. So let's actually, before we go any further, just talking about performances, I had to pick this up a little bit earlier as well. You've committed yourself to get into shape.
Oh, yes, I have. Yes.
So, I love it.
So if fingers crossed, Pulse 2 is covering the Bulls next season, hopefully you will see a far more leaner, fitter game caller.
What's your goal?
Well, I'm 20 stone at this moment in time, and I want to get down to ideally 15, 14. So it's not going to happen overnight, Robbie. It is going to be, you know, a good 12-month project. But I started on Monday at Jordan Lilly's new gym, which has just opened up the
I
road
saw that.
From here. So any Bulls fans, please message Jordan Lilly, and you know what? He'll gladly offer you some personal training. I tell you what, every time I go, I'll be posting pictures on social media. And you know what? You know, for everybody who sent me a good message, good luck message, you know, I'm doing this for myself. Ultimately, you know, I don't want to be in hospital missing games in 20
right.
years' time. I want to still
right.
be around.
Physical health is not only good for your physical health, it's also good for your mental health as well.
Yeah.
So it's one of your five ways to well-being. So all the best of luck. I'm with you on that. Enjoy your journey. Okay, look, the other big thing coming up this weekend is the World Knights. It's an absolutely class picture that I posted on social media early today. Or every player from the competition. So you've got all the Pacific nations. You've got England there also. But you've got the women's teams there as well. So the French team are there. Let's just work for it. USA, Wales, Lebanon, France,
England.
You've got both England women's and England's men. You've got the Gillaroos and the Australian Wallabies. You've got the Kiwis and the Silver Ferns, or the Kiwi Ferns, sorry. And you've got the Papua New Guinean men's and women's team. You've got Tonga, you've got Cook Islands, and you've got Samoa and Fiji. Look at that. And, you know, no expense spared. There's some athletes in there. James Graham, Sean Johnson, Jason Tomalolo, looking good, isn't it?
It is.
Starts this Friday?
It starts Friday, 20 past 8 with France v Lebanon. You've got England Wales at 10 past 9, and you've also got the women playing Papua New Guinea at 8:45, and then it rolls over onto Saturday. So if you want to get up early Saturday morning, it starts again at 2 o'clock in the morning. For those that are a little bit lazy, you can watch the final on Saturday at 11 o'clock.
And there you have it. So, look, this is the last show for the decade, Michael. For the decade.
Yeah, for the decade.
Been absolutely brilliant having Mick with me on the show, and the boys, obviously, also. Massive love to you guys all out there. And we'll get in touch with the winner today. I think it was Harry Jeffrey. Much love to everyone.
This is the Robbie Hunter-Paul Show on Pulse 2.